Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I said that, Jack.
Oh, this has been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Hey everyone, I'm Anne Bogle, and this is What Should I Read Next, episode 51. Welcome to the show that's dedicated to answering the question that plagues every reader. What should I read next? We don't get bossy on this show. What we will do here is give you the information you need to choose your next read. Today, we continue our special five-day mini-series, What Should I Read Next for Kids and Kids at Heart. We're focusing on a variety of young and young at heart topics, children's literature, coming-of-age stories, literary heroines, kidlit for grown-ups, and more. We have a terrific lineup of guests for the week who love talking about the pleasures of reading for a lifetime, whether you're 6 or 26 or 106. The kidlit discussion this week has been phenomenal, and I think you're going to want to check out all the other ways to participate in reading for a lifetime. We're having our second Twitter chat on Thursday, November 17th at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be all book talk all the time, and this chat is also a wonderful way to make friends with other What Should I Read Next fans. You can follow me at Anne Bogle, that's Anne with an E, B as in books, O-G-E-L, and turn on my tweet notifications to be alerted when the conversation starts. It's going to be great. We're also hosting an Instagram photo challenge this week. Follow the podcast at What Should I Read Next to see all the details there and share your own memories.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Today, we have two special guests for you, Jack Shepherd and Tanner Greenring, the men behind the popular podcast, The Babysitter's Club Club. I adored Anna Martin's novels as a kid, and I know many of you feel the same way. Well, Jack and Tanner are reading through the series themselves in chronological order. Each week on their podcast, they examine one book in great detail, and the results are highly entertaining. I loved hearing all about their podcast origin story, why these books have such staying power, which babysitter they most identify with, and what they're reading now when they're not reading The Babysitter's Club. Let's get to it. Jack, Tanner, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
I am so excited to talk to you because, like so many of your listeners of The Babysitter's Club Club, I feel like we should start by singing the song.
the iconic theme song
the
from
iconic
Scott Lamb?
Theme song from Scott Lamb. That's not you all. I just assumed that was one of you all with a guitar.
It's our good friend Scott, who everyone accuses of sounding just like Jack.
So it's actually him saying, in 1980, Anna Martin wrote. How's that?
First.
That's him?
Yeah,
that's Scott
good.
Lamb?
Yep. I'm sure he'll be honored.
Okay. Well, without the music, you have a podcast called The Babysitter's Club Club that I'm dying to find out who your audience is and how you thought of it. But when I saw that you all existed, I was psyched because as an 8-year-old, the Babysitter's Club books were the ones that got me hooked on reading. And so it's so fun to hear you talk about them and also to hear you talk about them in unexpected, ridiculous, and highly entertaining ways. So,
yeah, I guess it's all in the text, though. It's something we say over and over again.
Yes, high literary criticism. I appreciate that, my inner English major. So tell me the origin story. How did you all come up with this ridiculous and awesome idea?
Well, I'll begin. It's mostly my fault. This is Jack speaking here. When I was around 8 years old, I also discovered the Babysitter's Club books by an accident in that I had just moved to the country and I spent a lot of time hanging out with my cousin and she wanted to watch television. And I wasn't so interested in it. So I sat in her room and read her entire library. So I ended up becoming very familiar with all the Babysitter's Club books and all the Sweet Valley High books as well.
Oh, yes, because they go together.
Yeah, they go together. I feel like the Babysitter's Club has had more of a lasting impact on culture, but Sweet Valley High was right alongside them in the old days.
Is that why there's no Sweet Valley High podcast, or is that your next project?
Well, we'll do it if we get through all 130 Babysitter's Club books, plus right, the Babysitter's and all the Mysteries. Spin-off. Yeah. Right.
So we're several years away from that project.
I would think so. Okay. I mean, we're now at book 35. We just read last night, we just recorded an episode on episode number 35, book number 34, Marianne and Too Many Boys.
Mm. Right.
Mm-hmm. A classic.
It really was a classic. It's a repeat of Boy Crazy Stacy. They go back to the scene of the crime in Sea City, New Jersey. And once again, there are way too many boys and things get wildly out of control.
I can't wait to listen. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. So 8-year-old you read your cousin's whole library, Babysitter's Club and Sweet Valley High, but that does not a podcast make on its own. So then what happened?
Then 29 years passed. And I'm not sure. I wrote a couple of articles about the Babysitter's Club on the internet that mm-hmm. did pretty well, mm-hmm. Just because I had had this sort of weird experience of as a boy, having been immersed in them and having loved them as a kid. And I found that the reception was just incredible. It just seemed like they had really withstood the test of time and people really loved them. So I thought it would be fun to talk about them. And I brought poor Tanner along for the ride, who'd never read them. So it seemed like having somebody else who had fresh eyes.
Yeah. I'm just excited to have friends.
There are several good podcasts I can think of that have the expert on the strange subject and the innocent friend along for the ride.
Yeah.
So, Tanner, what did you think about his pitch? How did he present this to you?
I was into it. You know, we both are constantly looking for fun, creative things to do in our free time. We've tried like a number of different schemes where we're like presenting PowerPoint presentations at bookstores after hours, like comedy themed PowerPoint presentations and all sorts of little things that we were doing in our free time. But this seemed like a lot of fun. You know, podcasting is one of those things that it's irresistible in this modern day and age. And it's pretty easy to set up. So we just got going and we've been having a blast ever since.
Okay. Who listens to the Babysitter's Club? Who's your core audience?
Judged on our Facebook page, it is mostly but not entirely women.
Uh-huh.
And it's mostly women my age. So it's, yeah, it seems to have resonated with people who really, really loved those books as a kid and wanted to sort of revisit them. Though I've noticed we have started to have people who never read the books but are enjoying the podcast anyway.
I can see that. So 30-something women get really nostalgic about these books. Why do you think that is?
My thought is one of the things that I found rereading these books that surprised me that I wasn't expecting is they actually do kind of stand the test of time. They're for what they are, they're very well written.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's something maybe you can speak to this better than I can, but that set them apart from other books kind of the same genre, and that it was they were really about a group of girls and about their friendships with each other rather than about sort of, you know, like boys and romance. It really, like, the core of these books is very much like girls being friends and sort of those lasting friendships and like that being the thing that carries them through. So I think that probably is something that really resonates and sticks with you. Is part of why I think they have stood the test of time in a way that maybe Sweet Valley High hasn't as much.
I think they're just exciting too. Like I am a 32-year-old man and every week I get excited to read these books. Like something intriguing and exciting happens every week.
Tanner, has the series been what you expected when Jack first pitched this to you?
No, but I've made it what I expected.
I do that too. Do you even remember what you expected? Like how has it been different from what you thought you were getting into with this series at least?
I thought it was going to be kind of painful. Like I expected this to be like, oh, we're going to do this thing. It's going to be a slog. These books are going to be very boring. They're going to be hard to read. We're not going to have anything to talk about. But it's been the exact opposite. Like we managed to find the craziest stuff in each one of these books and kind of go on these wild tangents and these wild adventures together. So it's been really a real rush.
Yeah, one of our favorite podcasts both of us really love is a podcast that is called The Worst Idea of All Time, and it's two guys in New Zealand who watch the same movie every week for a year. they did it with the movie, the Adam Sandler vehicle, Grown Ups 2, and they also, then the next year, they did it with Sex and the City 2. And part of what's so fun about that podcast is just their immense suffering as they... they continue through this terrible project. And I think maybe we thought that that would be what was going to be fun about our podcast, was just like, oh, here we are reading these books again. And a big surprise for both of us is just like, you know, whatever, we read two books this week, and that was maybe one too many Babysitter's Club books. But in general, I look forward to what Marianne's going to get up to next week, or like, you know, whether Christy and Bart Taylor are finally going to, you know, get it together and go out on a date.
Right.
I love it. As a kid, these were totally my guilty pleasure books. You said that they were good for what they are, and I think I get what you're saying. Like, this is not, it's not Heidi, you know? But they are really good for what they are, but still total guilty pleasure. Do you think we ever grow out of that when we get to be grown-ups? Because I still think fondly of them, and yet I still totally categorize them as the mediocre, the really excellent mediocre literature that I loved with all my heart.
I mean, I can tell you that Tanner and I, in our spare time, recently both read a book about space spiders in the future. So, no, we certainly don't grow out of guilty pleasure books.
What was it called?
It's an awesome book. It's called Children of Time by a guy named Adrian Tchaikovsky. And he's actually an entomologist, so he like actually really understands a lot about insects. So there's a lot of details about what would actually happen if there was a planet of giant sentient spiders. I highly recommend it. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's very good.
I like it. What else do you read when you're not reading The Babysitter's Club?
Well, it comes up over and over again on the show, but we make a lot of references to Stephen King's Dark Tower series. I think both of us are big fantasy fans, especially of that series. And we were surprised to hear how many of our listeners are also in that same camp.
Yeah, we're both big sci-fi and fantasy nerds. I read in a lot of nonfiction as well, and a lot of sort of adventure books, mostly about people like dying on mountains.
Nice. So give us some titles.
After I read John Krakauer's Into Thin Air, which is about the sort of the failed Everest expedition of I think 97.
Yes.
That got me
so
hooked.
Good.
And it's just such good writing, and it's such an incredible story. And so I kind of went down a rabbit hole of reading everything that I could about sort of true exploits of mountaineers. So that's kind of a weird area. And of course, what happens is once you announce that, then everybody gets you those books for Christmas and birthdays. So
what have been some of the standouts, the standout Into Thin Air genre books?
If you like Into Thin Air, I can tell you the really best next one to read is a book called Touching the Void by Joe Simpson. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a documentary movie that was made out of it as well. And it's the story of the true story of two mountaineers who sort of went out at a disaster struck on top of this dangerous mountain. And one of them ends up sort of hanging from a rope that's held by the other one. But they can't talk to each other, so the guy who's holding the rope doesn't know if the other guy has died or not, and whether he should cut the rope or hang on to it. And I won't spoil it, but it's the story of what happens next, and sort of the fallout from the decision that the guy holding the rope makes. And it's an incredible book and a true story.
I've read that, and now I really want to see the documentary, but I'm also kind of terrified too, because the story is wrenching.
Yeah.
Okay. What else? Because I know we have a lot of Into Thin Air listeners. Who also loved The Babysitter's Club, because those go together, like Stephen King.
Yeah, totally. I'll let Tanner speak, because we both read the same book, I think, that's also kind of in the same vein, a book called Endurance by Alfred Lansing.
Oh, I've heard good things, but I've never read it.
Yeah, it's the story of, what's his last name, Jack? Ernest?
Shackleton.
Yeah, Shackleton's like failed expedition to the South Pole in the early 19th century, but they take a boat down to the South Pole. The boat gets lodged in the ice. They need to work together to find their way back to, you know, civilization. And they all make it out. Not a single soul is lost, despite the fact that they were wandering around the South Pole for like a year.
That's insane. And I hear that the writing on that is fantastic.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
Tanner, if you weren't locked in your cousin's closet reading through the Babysitter's Club books as a kid. What were you reading then?
I remember, like most boys of the late 80s and early 90s, reading every single Goosebumps book cover to cover.
Are you a big reader, or are you somebody who reads sometimes?
I am always reading a book, and essentially always have been reading a book since I learned how to read. So,
do you think fondly back on the Goosebumps books as the books that got you really hooked, or is that just, you know, the stuff you read when you were a kid?
You know, I honestly couldn't tell you I couldn't recall a single plot to a Goosebumps book. But I do think it's like it's kind of a gateway drug. I think maybe I wouldn't have had as much interest in authors like Stephen King if it wasn't for the fact that I was reading a lot of Goosebump books growing up.
So I am dying to get into the nitty-gritty of the Babysitter's Club, which I am glad to say that I got on eBay last year because I thought my daughters, who are now 9 and 11, were finally old enough, and I gave away my collection at some point, you know, womp womp, so sad, and purchased 122 books in one go on eBay for like $100, which is a really nice value per paperback, and my own daughters devoured the series, and we talked about their favorite titles over dinner, and we couldn't find a copy of book number 8. Do you know off the top of your head what that was?
Oh, wow.
I think it's something about Stacy. Is it The Truth About Stacy?
No, Truth About Stacy is number 3.
I admire that.
Tanner, come on. We can do this. It's Boy Crazy Stacy.
Oh, it totally is.
Oh, yeah.
So I finally found a copy of Boy Crazy Stacy in hardback, and it sticks out from all the paperbacks, and it's really a bone of contention in my house. But I'd love to hear what your favorites have been to read and what your favorites have been to discuss, and are they different?
I think the first question that we have to answer is which babysitter we are.
Oh, right? My gosh. Yes. Yes.
Because that's really the joy of of reading these books. And I think also going back to an earlier question, kind of why they've had this lasting value is everybody who's read them has a strong identification with which babysitter they are. Though I've got to say, mine has changed over the years. When I first read them, I thought I was a Marianne, but I'm finding Marianne difficult to deal with lately. She's going through a phase. She can't stop crying.
Okay. So you used to be a Marianne. What about her called out to your younger self?
Well, just the broad strokes, the bio of Marianne is that she's shy, she's a reader, she's bookish, she loves literature, she's probably going to be like an English lit major. So those things superficially resonate with me, mm-hmm. but personality-wise, I'm not really finding as much in common with her now as I did then. And that may be because she's 12 and I'm 37, so I don't want to blame her too much. But now
Marianne books are the most exciting ones, though.
Marianne books are just, they're a thrill ride. And Anna Martin has kind of got a thing going now where every Marianne book, she just does it kind of as a mystery. Marianne is just like solving true crime in Stony Brook. And that's always just kind of heart pounding and exciting and a lot of fun to talk about in a way that's not true of, for instance, Claudia books, where Tanner and I have to really dig.
What is it about Claudia that makes her so hard to fill out an episode?
I think Claudia mostly just cares about one thing, and that's Claudia. And having to read 120 pages of someone just kind of obsessing about themselves gets a little tedious.
Well, themselves in the tofu casserole.
Well, Don is a tofu casserole.
I totally got them confused.
Dawn is great. Dawn is fantastic. She's California casual, as the babysitters describe her. She's got just kind of a chill vibe, and she likes to eat tofu casserole, which as a vegetarian I identify with strongly.
Okay. Yeah.
But we need to go back. So if you identified with Marianne as a kid and your identification has changed, where are you now? What happened?
I see myself nowadays in Claudia's sister, Janine Keishi.
Mean Janine?
Mean Janine, yes, accurate. Well,
and in fairness, she's called Mean Janine by Claudia, who doesn't understand her.
Yeah.
I think that the truth would out if Janine bothered to write something from her own point of view.
I'd read that.
That would be the most boring Babysitter's Club book. Like, we struggle to get through Claudia books. I can't even imagine reading a Janine book.
It would just be her, like, talking about her dissertation.
Yeah.
So is Janine, like, is she the older and wiser role to the babysitters?
She's older, she's wiser, she's interested in things of the mind.
Ah.
She's an intellectual, she is going to be an academic, and she's so much more fascinating than, you know, whatever Claudia's fashion choice is, to me. I don't know if Tanner agrees.
I think Janine is mean. I think she's a pedant. I think she's insufferable. So yeah, I think that's pretty spot on for you, Jack.
Tanner, who do you identify with? Who's your babysitter?
Well, my favorite babysitter and the books I love the most are always Christy POVs. Christy's my favorite. Mm-hmm. But I am not a Christy-like person. I think I am more of a Marianne-like person. I'm kind of, I consider myself the Frodo to Jack's, or the Samwise to Jack's Frodo a little bit, mm-hmm. which feels like the relationship between Marianne and Christy, which is maybe why I admire Christy so much. It's actually a huge compliment to you, Jack.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So what is it about the Christy books that really get you?
I think Christy is just a very interesting character. I think I have this tick in my head where the first character I am introduced to in a book automatically gets assigned to the protagonist slot. And since Christy had the first book in the series and she came up with the Babysitter's Club idea, I kind of always consider her a home base now.
Your home base. I like it. I always really identified with Marianne as a kid. And it hadn't occurred to me, despite listening to your podcast, it hadn't occurred to me to identify as a 30-something-year-old with one of the babysitters. Although I have read an article online about how when you read them as an adult, you start thinking about parenting the babysitters. Although I haven't really been able to step into that shoes. I don't really care to. That's not what the fight is.
Jack does too. I think the other character that he failed to mention that he identifies with is Marianne's father, Mr. Spear.
Mm-hmm.
Every time Mr. Spear comes up in these books, Jack gets a little misty.
Yeah, we have a segment on our show called The Tearful Moment, which came out of the fact that the somewhat embarrassing fact that we both genuinely get teared up a couple of times despite ourselves every time we read one of these books. There's always something special. And for me, that usually happens around Mr. Spear, who's trying. He's doing his best. You know, he may be a difficult guy. He may be a little bit overly stern of a father, but he's trying to raise Marianne by himself after his wife died when Marianne was just 2 years old. And you got to love that.
Can you think of a Mr. Spear moment that really tugs on your heartstrings?
Certainly. In book number 4, Marianne Saves the Day, in which, to give Marianne her due credit, she does save the day. There's a moment where Marianne has to confront her father because he's not letting her pick out her own outfits. He's not letting her decorate her room the way she wants to. He's trying to keep her as, a young girl. And now she's growing up into a woman. She has to confront him. And he decides to let her hair down and get some cool, fashionable clothes and redecorate her room. And it's really difficult for him because he's trying to hang on to, you know, the memory of when she was a kid and when his wife was alive. Just a happier time in his life. But he realizes, he looks at her and he sees his wife in her eyes.
Oh, you're getting me right now, Jack.
Whew. Yeah, it's powerful stuff.
What are your favorite books in the series? Like, what is the title that you've loved so far? Tanner, I think this would be easier for you because you've read fewer, right? You're reading as you go?
I am reading as I go. Let's see. I really like... Jack, what was the name of the book where Marianne met Logan?
Logan Likes Marianne.
Logan Likes Marianne. 10. I think that's maybe my favorite book because it's a Marianne book, so there's plenty of supernatural intrigue. we're introduced to the master of demons, Logan Bruno. It's a good character portrait of both Marianne. It's, in fact, everyone. Everyone struggles with this new boy in town and the attention that he's taking from Marianne. It's kind of a hallmark of Babysitter's Club books.
Logan Likes Marianne was my favorite book as a kid. It's just full of so much excitement. And Marianne, despite her shyness and timid demeanor, is the first babysitter to get a boyfriend, as Anna Martin never tires of reminding us in the first chapter. So that was my favorite book as a kid. My favorite one recently, just on the reread, is also a Marianne book, Marianne and the Search for Tigger. It's a romp. Her cat gets kidnapped. Everyone thinks it's Logan. Maybe it is. Logan is a sinister character in these books. We call him the snake in the grass on our podcast. So I won't spoil it for listeners. Maybe he did kidnap her kitten. Maybe he didn't, but he was behind it in some way. But boy, it's full of twists and turns, and it's an exciting mystery.
Have those also been your favorite books to talk about on the podcast?
The Marianne books are great. I also like talking about Dawn books. Dawn books, to me, I never noticed this as a kid, but Dawn books always are packed to the gills with sort of subtle religious significance. Really? The first Dawn book is called Dawn and the Impossible Three, which, if that's not a metaphor for thinking about the Trinity, I don't know what is. And then the next book is called The Ghost at Dawn's House, which obviously the Holy Ghost. And it just really goes on from there. So it's if you dig deep, you know, Anna Martin doesn't put this stuff on the surface, but there's so much to find, especially if you are an overwrought English lit major.
Jack and I have a standing bet that if he, I also doubt that he'll be able to find religious significance in every Dawn book. So we have a standing bet where if he manages to do it, I have to select an outfit that Claudia wore and wear it on stage at our first live show.
Wow.
So here's rooting for no more religious significance in Dawn books.
I don't know. Claudia is very fashionable.
Have you seen the blogger who is taking your inspiration from the Babysitter's Club? I think you have, because I think I found out about her from you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there's also a classic blog from probably about, honestly, 8 years ago now, that's called What Claudia Wore, where somebody went through every book and talks about what Claudia wore in each book, which is it still holds up as one of the great blogs.
I will be Googling that next. Okay. So if people are new to the Babysitter's Club, or new to your show, do they start at the beginning or can they jump in anywhere? What do you recommend? What's your intro to the Babysitter's Club and the Babysitter's Club recommendations?
It's tough because we don't want the barrier of entry to be too high. But if you jump into the latest episode, there's going to be a lot of stuff that just absolutely makes zero sense to you. We're convinced that all these girls are bees. We're convinced that Claudia is a living doll. Obviously, I've already mentioned the fact that Logan is the master of demons. So if you hop in now, you're going to be a little lost, but...
But you know, it's all in the text.
It's all in the text.
So if you join us on this incredible journey through the sitter cycle from the beginning, it will all become clear.
That's true.
You just need a guide to show you the way, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Or okay. Or a pair of guides. Or one very good guide and his bumbling co-host.
Nice.
That's fair.
All right. Before we close, tell me what y'all are reading right now. What are you reading, Jack?
Oh, my gosh. I'm always reading so many books at once.
I'm hoping it
once.
Has nothing to do with anything we've talked about so far.
I just recently finished a book called The Riddle of the Labyrinth by Margalit Fox.
Yeah, what is that?
Which is, and it's a book about the quest to decipher Linear B.
Sorry?
We talk about it on the podcast, you know, I talk about Linear B all the time. it's the quest to decipher this sort of ancient language, similar to hieroglyphics, where there was no Rosetta Stone. And this incredible woman called Alice Kolber, who is a researcher, who kind of worked to crack the code that everyone had deemed was indecipherable for years. It's a really interesting, like, scholarly mystery.
Does she crack the code, or do we have to read it to find out?
She gets there. The code gets cracked, and the way that it's cracked is truly fascinating. If you're interested in languages.
Interesting. How'd you happen to pick that up?
I was recommended it by a friend. I'm always interested in things to do with linguistics and, mm-hmm. and languages. And this, you know, whatever, that sounds like a turnoff, but this is actually a really, really interesting mystery, even if you're not into language stuff. Yeah, I was just going to say, it's also a nice break from reading about space spiders.
So you can keep up your Renaissance man credentials. Well-rounded and all that. Tanner, what are you reading now?
At my wife's insistence, I started reading the Haymitch Cycle from Ursula Le Guin, and I've been loving that.
Someone was just raving to me about The Lathe of Heaven. Is that in the series?
I've not read that one yet, if it is. I just read The Left Hand of Darkness, which is kind of the big one from that series.
Yeah.
And I've just started on The Dispossessed, which I think has won the Nebula Award and the Hugo Award and all those other.
Yeah, I've never read anything by her. So why did your wife feel so strongly about it?
She loves these books. Like, they're incredibly engaging sci-fi books. They've got these strong feminist messages in them, which she's constantly encouraging people to get more involved with. They're just really fun and engaging to read. Just really good books.
Well, that sounds really interesting. Okay, so they're delivering on your wife's promise for you?
Yeah, for sure.
Nice. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show today to talk books and, of course, the Babysitter's Club. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I said that, Jack.
Oh, this has been a real pleasure. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed hearing from Jack and Tanner. Since Jack, Tanner, and I talked a little about our guilty pleasures today, I thought it would be fun to ask you, the listeners, what your guilty pleasures are. We made that request in our newsletter. If you're not on the list, sign up at whatshouldireadnextpodcast.com/newsletter. I love the answers you sent in. Here are a few of them.
Hi, Anne. My name is Emily. I live in Dallas, Texas. My guilty pleasure is culinary mysteries. I discovered them about a year ago, and ever since then, I've read a ton of them. That's a little unusual for me because I was an English major in college, and I usually consider myself to be a pretty serious reader. I'm actually a little upset that the culinary mysteries have displaced some other serious books in my reading life, but I just can't seem to stop reading them.
My name is Lauren, and I live in Olympia, Washington. My guilty pleasure is that I cannot resist celebrity memoirs. I feel like in general, I don't really read gossip magazines. I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't necessarily know what's up in most celebrities' lives. But for whatever reason, every time a new celebrity memoir comes out, I just have to read it. And I've actually been reading them since I was in middle school. I remember reading a Charlotte Church autobiography when I was like maybe 12. My favorite of all time is definitely Tina Fey's Bossy Pants. I just think she's hilarious, and a lot of her observations are really on point with regular life, even though she obviously lives a different life than I do. And one that I'm really looking forward to reading is Mara Wilson's new book.
Hi, Anne. This is Mary Catherine from Noonan, Georgia. My guiltiest of guilty pleasures is the Black Dagger Brotherhood series by J.R. Ward. It is just a trashy romance series, honestly, and it's about a race of warrior vampires, and they all have really ridiculous names that are emotions or adjectives with unnecessary H's included, and it's just the worst, but I can't help but love it.
Hi, Anne. Natasha Stone from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and my guilty pleasure is the Twilight series. And as if reading it once was not bad enough, I've read the entire series twice.
Hi, Anne. My name is Char Tolliver, and we are stationed in Colorado Springs, Colorado. My guilty pleasure read is the Hannah Swenson Cozy Mystery series by Joanne Fluke. It is full of nosy neighbors and baked good recipes, and of course, there's always a murder mystery. I picked up the first one back in 2008 when I needed an airplane read and enjoyed my way through a very simple but enjoyable read. And since then, it has become my palate cleanser. I continue to read my way through the series. I just finished the 9th book after reading Me Before You, and there are about 20 or so in this series now.
That was fun. Thanks for listening. Readers, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out the Babysitter's Club Club on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts for more Jack and Tanner. Head over to our podcast site for the full list of titles we talked about today. That page is at whatshouldireadnextpodcast.com/51. And don't forget to hop on Twitter Thursday, November 17th at 2 p.m. Eastern for some warm and welcoming conversation about reading for a lifetime with me and other What Should I Read Next listeners. You can follow me at Ann Bogle, that's Ann with an E, B as in books, O-G-E-L, and turn on my tweet notifications to be alerted when the conversation starts. It's going to be a great time. Readers, that's it for this episode. Thanks so much for listening. And as Rainer Maria Rilke said, ah, how good it is to be among people who are reading. Happy reading, everyone.